Welcome to Heads Up, the ISC research series that keeps you informed of the latest trends happening in the international schools market. I'm Nalini Cook from the ISC Research Field Consultant Team. Let's get started with our episode.
So welcome everybody. My name's Luke Warduck and I'm the School Development Manager here at ISC Research. Today we'll be speaking to a representative of one of the 2024 International School Award winners, Pierce Roderick, who is Assistant Head of Secondary at the British Vietnamese International School, Hanoi. Pierce is also North Anglia's Social Impact Regional Lead for Southeast Asia. British Vietnamese International School, Hanoi, won an International School Award for its community service program, working with residents of the floating village in Hanoi. Today we will be discussing this initiative in greater detail, including any challenges that the school has overcome, future plans for the initiative's development, as well as advice for other international schools who are considering applying for future international school awards. The aim of the ISAs is to share some of the outstanding initiatives that address common needs for learning and community action that are being implemented by international schools. Applications for the 2025 ISAs will be opening in April, so we hope this will be a great opportunity for schools to get thinking about their applications and learn from a previous winner. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem at all. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Brilliant. So can you tell us a little bit about your school's winning initiative?
Yes, of course. So we started our initiative about 2.5 years ago now. We revamped our community service provision here at BVIS Hanoi. We decided we wanted to make more of an impact, not just on the community, but also the students who do the work. So our kind of flagship project, our first project we came up with was at the Floating Village, which is a small village in the heart of Hanoi, really. It's next to the Red River, which is the major river running through Hanoi. And it's home to 200 residents who live on the river. These residents have not got any formal identification. So technically, they're not citizens of Vietnam, despite living here the whole of their lives. And the land they live on isn't owned by themselves. So we found them an ideal partner for us to get involved with, because we really wanted to kind of really get to know people in Hanoi that really need our help and really get our students fully involved in the help there. Yeah, so we connected with these people. We met them up a few times and they told us our story. And we were blown away by the fact that these families have been living there for generations, over 50 years, and just really needed help. So we decided to get fully involved. We sent our students down there. It's about 30 minutes down the road from where we are in Hanoi. We sent our students down there to meet these people as soon as we could, just so they could really share, you know, each other's life stories and realize, yes, they've lived in the same place or almost the same place as each other, but actually they are so different in terms of, you know, opportunities in life. So that's where it started, really. And that's where the steps since then, which I can go on to in a bit, have really kind of come from since our students had the opportunity to meet these people and really get to know what they really needed from us.
That's a brilliant experience, and yeah, brilliant to see how that came about. I know we touched on it in your bit there, but how does your initiative incorporate the UN's Sustainable Development Goals?
So the Sustainable Development Goals are kind of the cornerstone of what we lead on in our social impact provision here at school. So with everything we do, we use this Sustainable Development Goals as a guide to kind of pin down, you know, we will use a goal for each kind of program we do. For this program itself at the Floating Village, it was our first one. We kind of really linked it to the No Poverty Sustainable Development Goal. That was the one we wanted to do because the majority of our students live, you know, above average living conditions for where we are. So our students really didn't quite understand that there was poverty around them and there was poverty, you know, experienced by people around where they live. So that's what we really wanted to get them involved in. That's why the Sustainable Development Goals are so important, because we want them to link to them and also see that actually through their work, we can hopefully eradicate things like poverty by hard work and getting involved in initiatives like this.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So who does the initiative involve in the school? Is it a certain group? Is it the wider community? How does it work within the school?
Yes, so this program mainly involves our year 9 students who are 14 and 15 years old. So that's the year group we involve mainly in this. Each year the program rolls on to the next year 9 students who pick up the program from where it's been left off. So we've had this is our third year now. So we've got our third set of year 9 students now going out, and kind of each year we're building on it and improving the conditions and what we're doing at the floating village. So every year the students are able to almost pick it up from a better starting point and, you know, make further improvements. We also have our primary school age students. We've had some younger students, 7 and 8 year olds, also go down there and do a project down there and get involved with the people, because we realized some of the students who live there, because there are families there as well, were younger age students. So if we thought it'd be a really nice opportunity for similar age students, our younger age students, to meet those students as well. And we've also had the teaching body involved in there. We've had inset days, teacher training days, where we've had a day where we've taken all the staff down there to see what the work is, because we really want to involve them as well and get them fully involved. So having the staff visit there and meet the people and see what we've done so far really gets them involved in and really wants them to really kind of push themselves and also their students to really get involved and do more.
That's brilliant. But how do you find incorporating the project into the school day and into the school curriculum? Do you face any obstacles to this? How has the timetabling for it been?
Yeah, there were certainly obstacles at first, because, as I said, we changed our social impact provision, where we really wanted the students to be at the heart of it. So the way we thought that would be feasible was by including it directly into every year group's curriculum. Now, that was quite a difficult task, because shoehorning in a few weeks worth of social impact work into a very tight, tightly packed curriculum already was a challenge. And it did take time for staff to get fully involved in it and on board with it. And that's where we decided to just involve 2 year groups, this Floating Village project and another project with one of Hanoi's deaf schools. They were our first 2 projects where we said, right, let's get these 2 right and let's get them fully into the curriculum. And once we get these 2 right and staff see the benefits of it and we get them involved too, we can quickly kind of get everybody on board. So that was the challenge, was finding the time into it. But we found, as you know, once we got the students down there and people started to see that actually this was really life-changing, not just for the community, but for our children as well, and really changed their outlook on life. And it soon, you know, brought around the people who doubted, you know, where we'd find the time and the resources, I guess, to be able to do it.
So how have the outlooks changed at the students? Have you seen a wider change amongst the school community?
For sure. Yeah, I think our students have changed immensely. Our students, I'd say firstly, they've developed their leadership skills. And that's a big thing, where our students are fully involved from the start and they're leading on these projects and they're deciding, you know, with communicating with the people we're helping, they're deciding what we do for them. And that really gives them the leadership skills that they need, not just now, but for future careers. I'd also say it really does allow them to see the real world and prepare them as global citizens. And again, that's one of our targets, where we want the students to leave our school prepared for the real world. And unfortunately, the real world isn't often quite as shiny and as nice as what our students experience. So it's really helped them kind of really understand what life is like for many people, and really helped our students really want to get involved. We've been really happy to hear so many students, you know, who leave our alumni, get back in touch and share some amazing stories about the community service work they've gone on to do as they've left our school in other parts of the world, as they go to universities and start their careers elsewhere. And I think that's directly involved in this, where our students have seen, you know, they really want to do good and they've really been fully involved in it. And that's not just helped them, but also the people involved as well.
No, definitely. Yeah. Seeing how you can make real life changes on your doorstep must be absolutely mind altering for them. We've touched on the scheduling issues and some doubts that we're faced with in the school. Were there any other challenges that you've overcome, or any specific examples of challenges that you've had to overcome to get this project so successful?
Yeah, I'd say another difficulty, I guess, at first is also the parent body and involving them. There was maybe a little bit of hesitation about allowing their children to go to areas that aren't quite as, I guess, clean and tidy and perhaps what they consider safe as what they're used to. So it was really, that was a bit of a challenge in terms of getting the parents on board. And that's where we got the parents into school, and we had, you know, meet the teacher moments where we met with them and explained what was happening, and we took pictures and videos and showed them and taught them through what would happen. And that really did kind of calm their fears down as well, because understandably, they said we'd never really done anything like this before. So it was kind of a big thing. And again, I think it shows the impact with that is At first, if we had 100 kids going, we'd probably have up to 80 parents coming to these meetings and wanting to find out, you know, what was happening. We still hold these meetings for every trip we do, but we're lucky now to have, you know, 5 parents. And that's not because of a lack of interest, but because of the trust and the belief in this program. They're not worried about where their child is going anymore, because they believe in the program. They've seen the changes in their child as well. And I'd probably then go on to the second problem was perhaps just the local situation we have in Hanoi, in terms of Hanoi is a fast developing city, and we really want to find sustainable projects that we know will go on for generations. And finding them in Hanoi can be a struggle. So we've really had to work hard to find the right partners to partner with us, and also find the correct spaces and the correct people who we want to help, where we know it's not just a one-off thing. It's, you know, something that we're going to be doing for the next, you know, 5, 10, 20 years.
That's brilliant. Obviously very successful now, and you've come through all those challenges. Reflecting on how the initiative's been, how it was implemented, is there anything you would have changed on the startup of the program? Anything that would have made it easier, or any advice you could share in that sort of early stages of deployment?
Yeah, I guess my advice is to start small and move on from there. We included the whole year group. We have 80 students in that year group, and that was quite a big challenge to get them all down there and to meet the people at first. So my advice would maybe start a little bit smaller, just to make it more manageable, and maybe have a select student leadership group to go down there and meet the people, and then they can feed back to the other students. We were perhaps a little bit ambitious at first because we wanted to get the students all fully involved. It's successful now because we know how to manage those numbers and, you know, how it works. But I would say at first, perhaps we, bit off a little bit more than we can chew in some circumstances. But the best way to learn is, you know, you learn from your mistakes. You learn from how things are working and how things are not. And, you know, we have 13 year groups, and each one goes on, you know, a program that lasts throughout their year group academic year. And each project, you know, we've learned from the last. Now we've got 13 really strong projects that we know how to run and how to involve the students as much as possible, but also, you know, at a feasible and manageable level.
That's brilliant. So due to the process of the ISAs, we had all the updates from you almost 12 months ago now, actually. What milestones or progress have you seen in the initiative over the past 12 months since submission?
Yeah, we've made huge progress in the last 12 months. So as I said, we've been going for 2.5 years there now. And over the last 12 months, there are 200 people who live in that site. And our aim is to have rebuilt houses for each and every family. So each family has built a kind of temporary house floating on the river, floodplain. And our kind of promise was that each house would be renovated and built in a sustainable manner, which can last, you know, a generation at least. So we've got to about 50% of the houses built now, which is incredible. So now we're about 100 of the people now have safe housing that is perfectly manageable. Whenever it rains or whenever the river floods, they are going to be safe, and they know that. We've also installed solar panels onto the roofs. So now the families have electricity for the first time. So it gets dark in Hanoi about 6 p.m. every day, summer or winter. So families were lasting with either power generators or sometimes candles to be able to light up the place at night. So we've installed solar panels, which obviously charge during the day. And it means they can use the electricity at night. And that's been a huge game changer, because it now means adults and the children have electricity at night. And the children now have the opportunity to study at night as well, due to having lights to be able to, you know, read their books and do their work. And that's revolutionized their lives as well, and improved their education provision as well. I'd probably say the third thing we've done over the last year is also we've installed water pipes and a water pump. Again, the families there used to have to buy in bottles of water to drink. And when they didn't have the money, they would drink dirty water. So we've now installed a water pump that provides safe drinking water for all the families there. And again, it's something that took about 6 months to install. But again, it just means now the families, A, save money from not having to buy bottled water. B, it's better for recycling because we're not having to use plastic bottles. And C, it just guarantees that these families are going to be drinking clean and safe drinking water for the long term.
No, that's brilliant. That's such a massive achievement. And it shows how the basic amenities are just taken for granted, doesn't it? And what a difference it can make putting that back into a community. So that was the previous 12 months, obviously a massive amount achieved there. What would be the goals for the next 12 months and beyond that for the community?
Yeah, so we've got big plans over the next 12 months. So our current year 9 students are going back out there in April. We plan to extend the garden area where we helped 2 years ago. We helped create a farming area where they could farm their own fruits and vegetables. So our plan this year is to get the students back out there and start the next kind of area next to there to really grow it and double its size, to which will guarantee that families have enough fruit and vegetables. Everyone has enough fruit and vegetables to last throughout the year. And it should mean as well that families have extra produce to be able to sell and make some money as well, which again is a game changer because a lot of the families do struggle for money. And then the second thing is we want to widen the access road into the village. So it's a cutoff area next to the river. So actually it's a really difficult place to access, particularly for any vehicles. So we are going to work on widening the paths, which means, again, the accessibility will improve, which will make it easier for the families to come in and out and the children to get to school in the morning and those who work to get to other parts of Hanoi in a much easier way. Because currently they either have to walk or they have to go on motorbikes to get out of the area, and that can take up to 20 to 30 minutes to walk through the site. It's a very large area along the river. So again, that'll be a game changer for them in terms of saving time and help them with the accessibility of the area.
Yeah, and everything you're doing there sounds just very sustainable, very manageable, and just provides a lot more opportunity and quality of life. Regarding the International School Award itself, have you seen that winning this award or having the exposure from the award, has this developed your relationship within the school community and local community at all?
Yeah, I'd say so. We were really proud to receive it, and you know, we've been really proud of having it, and you know, we've gladly shared it with the community and shared this award. And we don't want to take all credit because it's the community as well working with us and other people and other partners. So we've really celebrated with them and thanked them for all their work as well. So it's kind of, it feels like a shared award really with all our partners and all the people that have been involved. But yeah, we're really proud of it. It's nice to have I guess a validation of your hard work and knowing that other people recognize it too. And it's something where we're really proud to kind of tell other schools and tell other people and tell the community that we have. And it does actually open other doors as well to be involved with perhaps other partners by having this award, because it is a very recognized and highly sought after award. So it's opened a few doors for more partners, not just in Hanoi or Vietnam, but actually further afield as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So would you have any advice that you could offer for other international schools thinking about applying for the International School Awards for 2025 and how they can rely on what they're doing or what their current projects are for sustainability and progression?
Yeah, I'd say, I'd really encourage people to apply. It's a really good process, actually, because it gets you to really think about what you're doing and actually what you can do better. So we found the process really rewarding because it made us go back almost to the start and think about why we're doing it and what we're trying to get out of it. And at the heart of ours is always about A, our students and B, the community and, you know, an equal importance. So it's really made us think about that. And again, it's improved what we're doing because we went back to that and really thought about it and thought, right, what are we doing? Are we answering the questions that the award is asking us and really doing what we're saying we're doing? And again, we've made some changes to that. And again, it's helped us really kind of improve what we're doing. And I think it also really, as I said before, it really is great for schools just for validation of what they're doing and to share their ideas. Because when we were doing ours, we looked back at previous award winners as a guide and to see what they'd done. So it was a really helpful process to kind of learn from other schools and learn from what they do and see what works for us. So actually it's the sharing of ideas as well before completing the award, but also afters as you watch others really does help as well.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to say about your initiative or any other plans for the future regarding that, or any of the other initiatives at your school that you'd like to just mention now or talk about?
Yeah, of course. Our initiatives go from F1, which is our year two, age two students, all the way up to year 13, which is our age 18 students. So the projects we run, we're really proud of in terms of it really does encapsulate all the age groups in our school. I always think it's important to mention our partners as well. We've got some amazing partners here in Hanoi and Vietnam, and you know, we partner with some amazing schools, schools with children with learning disabilities. We have deaf schools, which we partner with, where we invite the children in to meet our students. We have a variety of kind of animal kind of pet adoption groups that we work with as well, and so many other groups. We have pensioners and old age people and old age communities who we invite into our school, and we go out as well. So it's I just want to mention how it's a really widespread curriculum that we're all really proud of. As I said, we're 2.5 years along this journey, and we feel like we've got a long way to go, and we are so excited by where all our partners and community organizers and people we're helping will be in, you know, in the next 2.5 years and beyond, because we know they're going to be in a so much of a better place than they are right now.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. And it's great to see the culture being so widespread and consistent throughout the school as well. So thank you very much for joining me today and sharing more about British Vietnamese International Schools Inspiring Initiative, and sharing your advice to the other schools that are interested. If you would like to find out any more about our winning initiatives, you can do so over on the ISC community portal, where the 2024 ISA announcement sessions are available to watch. Please also feel free to reach out to us on the ISC community platform with any questions, comments, or further advice that you'd like to share. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time.